Yeah, please ask.
Yes. So, this chanting, our mantra. So, what are the different effects of the chanting?
What are the different effects that come from chanting?
Yes.
Well, there are many. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu classified the effects of chanting into 7 main categories. The first effect is that it cleans the heart
of all dirty things. We have material attachments, we have lust, greed, anger. The first effect of chanting is that it cleans the heart of all dirty things. The second effect is that
how it happens by Krishna's mercy, the mechanics of the cleansing process.
Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Pure. So when we chant his names, because the holy name is pure, even though our consciousness is impure, it gradually becomes purified by contact with the pure. Just like if something is very dirty and you wash it, then gradually if you put it in contact with that which is clean, a cleansing agent, then gradually it becomes clean. So that's a rough example of how by chanting the names of Krishna, we gradually, the heart becomes clean. It's actually by Krishna's mercy.
So when the heart is clean, what happens?
Well, a side, a concomitant effect is that the heart becomes purified and the fire of material existence is extinguished. This is an analogy that we are burning in the fire of material existence. So that burning fire, that means all the anxiety, stress of material existence, repeated birth and death, that becomes stopped by chanting the holy names of Krishna. We get free from birth and death. We get free from the suffering of the material world by chanting the name of Krishna. Then it brings in, chanting the holy names of Krishna brings in all good fortune. And it also reveals to us transcendental knowledge. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, we become self-realized. We begin to understand who we are, what is our relationship with Krishna. Now this we can hear by reading, or by we can read books. But actually when we chant the holy name, then this realization becomes developed. That I am spiritual, I'm not material, and I belong to Krishna, as it's stated on your sweatshirt. So, Shriya Karnava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadhu Jivanam. Then we become more and more and more blissful. And at every step of our life, we taste the nectar of Krishna Bhakti. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Ritasva. Yeah, we taste the full nectar of Krishna consciousness. And in this way, we can conquer over material existence by Sri Krishna Sankirtana. These are the 7 basic effects outlined by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But you have to do it. It's not just theoretical. It's just like honey tastes sweet. Is that right? Everyone knows the taste of honey? Unless you're James, you won't know. James don't take honey. So if I tell you honey is sweet, just say you never tasted honey. So I can describe it. Sweet, it tastes really good, it's nourishing, nutritious, but you won't understand it unless you taste it. Right? So similarly, we can say chanting the holy name of Krishna gives us bliss. It cleans the heart. We get free from material existence. But you can only accept that theoretically until you chant the holy name, and then you can experience it.
You also experience it by chanting the names of other deities.
You won't experience the same effect, because Krishna is categorically different from other deities. Of course, there are many Vishnu forms. Do you want to take a seat? Sit down. No, shouldn't have said that. They left all together. So yeah, there are, when we say other deities, generally in Hinduism, for want of a better term, there's a lot of confusion about this. So Krishna, Ram, Nrsimha, Vamana, these are all forms of Vishnu. So if we chant these names, we get the effect of chanting the name of Krishna, because they're all forms, all Vishnu forms. But chanting the name Shiva, Indra, Durga, Kali, it won't give the same effect, because they are not on the same level as Krishna. So it's a different effect.
But doesn't Krishna say that all paths lead unto him anyway? So were you to chant the name of Shiva, for example?
No, Krishna doesn't say that exactly. It's a common misconception that Krishna says that. But actually that was said by Ramakrishna, who's so-called Paramahamsa, that Jato Mat Toto Pat. As many opinions, that many paths. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Yeyata Mang Prapadyante Tangs Tathaiva Vajami Aham Mamavart Manu Varatante Manusya Partha Sarvashaha. Krishna says that as people approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. And everyone is on a path not separate from me. It's a little different from saying that all paths lead to him. If all paths led to Krishna, then there'd be no need of cultivating bhakti. There's a difference. If we chant Hare Krishna and we don't chant Hare Krishna, there's a difference. If we eat meat and if we eat Krishna prasadam, there's a difference. It's not all the same.
But do you not accept then that the deities are...
They're not all... No. Well, all beings, including Shiva, Brahma, Vishnu... Sorry, Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and yourself and myself... We're all manifestations of Krishna in one sense. But there is a difference, and that's technically called Svangsha and Vibhinangsha. Svangsha means the Vishnu forms. Means Krishna, Rama, Narayana, Nrsimha. These are all Svangsha, or directly Krishna. And there's Vibhinangsha, which means we're also Angsha of Krishna. We are part and parcel of Krishna. But Vibhina, we're different also. So Ram is not different from Krishna. And Nrsimha is not different from Krishna. They're different manifestations of Krishna. And we are also, but we are Vibhina Angsha. We're we're manifestations of Krishna, but we're categorically different from Him. Krishna is supreme. We are not supreme. And the different deities or the devas or devatas, they're also not supreme. They're invested with more power than we are, but they are not on the same level as Vishnu.
Where does it say that Shiva is not as supreme as Vishnu?
Well, we find in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Aham adir hi devanam. I am the source of all the devas. We find in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is described as Adi Deva, or he's before all the devas, or the origin of them. We find in Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna says, Antavattu palangte shang tad bhavatyalpa medhasam. Those who worship different gods, they are less intelligent. We find in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Kamais taistai hritagyana prapadyanti anya devata. Persons who are of spoiled intelligence, they worship different gods because the result they get is only temporary. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna clearly differentiates between himself and other gods.
In the story of creation, didn't Shiva create Vishnu?
It's not exactly a Hindu story.
Well, the story of creation as per the Vedas.
In the Puranas, the creation is described, and in the Vedas. Purusha Sukta is in the Vedas.
So wasn't Shiva?
No. In the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Purusha Sukta, it's the Purusha is mentioned. Vishnu enters everything. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vishnu enters everything, then everything becomes enlivened. Now in one sense, Shiva is Vishnu, because Shiva means auspicious. But Vishnu is known as Sadashiva. Whereas Shiva, that means who is the husband of Parvati. His function is within the creation as Pashupatinath. He is the Lord of Tamaguna. So his auspiciousness, he's not always auspicious. He's auspicious in as much as he always meditates on Sankarshan, who is a form of Vishnu. So he is auspicious in that sense. But in the sense that he is given the task of overseeing the Tamagun, or the mode of ignorance, therefore he has contact with Tamagun. And therefore we see that Lord Shiva is marked with the ashes of the smashan, the crematorium, and he's surrounded by bhutas and pretas. So these beings are not auspicious. So Lord Shiva is constitutionally auspicious, but because of his Hare Krishna. Did you give those books to? Okay. All right, so Hare Krishna. Please come tomorrow also. Hare Krishna. So because of his close contact with Tamagun, therefore his auspiciousness is, there's some admixture of inauspiciousness. Whereas Vishnu is called Sadashiva. He's always auspicious. There's no question of any even trace of inauspiciousness in Lord Vishnu. Now this, it's difficult to understand. Jiva Goswami, who's the main philosopher of our Gaudiya Sampradaya, he says that Shiva Tattva is very, it's difficult to understand, because in one sense he is Vishnu, but in another sense he's not. The example is given in Brahma Sanghita. Do you want to take this chair and put it out? You can sit down if you want. The example is given in Brahma Sanghita, which is composed by Lord Brahma. He says, Kshirang yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitata pritagasti heto yashambhutamapitata samupaiti karyat govindam adi purusham tamaham najami. Govinda is the Adi Purusha, original person, Govinda, Krishna. And in this example, Govinda is compared to milk and Lord Shiva to yogurt. Now yogurt is only milk, but it's different also. So like that, the example is given that Govinda is like milk and Lord Shiva is like yogurt, which is only milk. But from milk comes yogurt and not vice versa. And there's a different effect. Milk has a different nutritional effect and yogurt has a different nutritional effect. So like that, he is nothing but Vishnu, but in a different function. And therefore, different. But the same also. So it's a little difficult to understand. But chanting the name of Vishnu awards mukti. Therefore he's called Mukunda. And Lord Shiva also gives mukti in Kashi Dham. People go to die in Varanasi. And in Varanasi, very famous is Vishwanath, Lord Shiva. But he gives in the Kashi Kanda of the Padma Purana, it's described that those who die in Kashi, they get mukti by the grace of Lord Shiva, because when they're dying, he comes and in their ear he says Ramanam. So the power to give mukti, that is given by Lord Vishnu. So there is a difference. It's not all the same.
Ram himself used to pray to Lord Shiva.
Yes, and Krishna also. And Shiva prays to Krishna and to Rama. So again, it can be confusing. We find in Mahabharata both Krishna praying to Shiva and Shiva praying to Krishna. But the conclusion given by Vyasadeva at the end of Mahabharata, and actually it's given by Lord Shiva in Mahabharata also, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, is that ultimately Krishna is supreme. They're non-different, but ultimately Krishna is supreme. It's something like in an airline, in a airplane, you have a pilot and a co-pilot. So the pilot and when you say co-pilot, that means he's an equal pilot, but still one is called the pilot and one is called the co-pilot. In one sense, yes. But Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And Lord Shiva is, in his own conception, a devotee, specifically of Sankarsan, who is a form of Krishna, an expansion of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Would you like to take any book that I've written? I've written several books. That's Prabhupada's book.
I've got another question.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, sit down.
Is ahimsa...
Actually, what I suggest, as you have good questions, and I'm answering them briefly, but why don't you enroll yourself in a course here and study all these things in detail? This is an educational center. So you can enroll in a course and you can study Bhagavad Gita systematically. Where do you live?
About 5-6 miles away.
So there you are. You can enroll in a course. You can introduce him to that, right? And systematically, over a course of... There are different courses, right? Some are for some weeks, some are for some months. And you can get a systematic education in all these things. So when you leave here, please see... What's your name? Sorry?
Yuvaraj.
Yeah,
I know him.
You know him, huh? And he can tell you how to enroll in the courses.
Do you believe that?
And then you're given the course, but it's interactive. You can ask questions.
Do you believe that ahimsa must be followed under all circumstances?
Well, first thing, what I believe is not very important. We have to understand. We have to understand dharma from shastra. Well, Lord Buddha said, ahimsa paramo dharma. But in Bhagavad Gita, it's stated, the principle is given, na ati hinsa, not excessive violence. Now, ahimsa in all circumstances is not possible. It's not practical. Just like in Sri Lanka, the majority population is Buddhist, and they have a full-scale war going on against the Tamil Hindus. I don't know how they justify it, but they consider it a political necessity. And none of the Sinhalese are protesting, as far as I know. So, violence in this world is necessary. Just like sometimes in America, the police go on strike. It's happened more than once. Then immediately there's looting, and people don't care, you know, they don't care to rob and kill and everything, because they know the police are on strike. So the threat of violence, if you don't follow the law, you're going to get arrested, is required for people like that. So wholesale ahimsa it will result in more ahimsa. So ahimsa, this principle, should be applied on dharmic principles, in which the threat of violence and actual violence is there for people who do not voluntarily subscribe to the principle of ahimsa. You got that? To keep them in line, to protect people who are peaceful from those who, given the chance, they don't give a damn, they'll cut your throat. So it's required that there are police or whatever to protect peaceful people from ruffians and rogues. So war is sometimes, may be necessary. Sometimes. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna convincing Arjuna, who didn't want to fight. Sometimes violence is better than non-violence. Sometimes lying is better than telling the truth. There's a story in Mahabharata about that. You know that story?
Which one?
He tells the story of how a Brahmin who didn't lie all his life went to hell. You know that story? Alright, I'll tell it briefly. Everyone likes Mahabharat stories. So Krishna told the story of there was one man, a Brahmin, he lived at the edge of a village next to the jungle. And he had taken a vow never to tell a lie. One day, as he was outside his house, a man came running up and said, "I'm carrying lots of money. There are some robbers behind me. They want to kill me and take the money. Where can I hide?" So the man told him, "Just hide in the jungle over there." So he went and hid there. A few minutes later, a gang of robbers came up and said, "We're a gang of robbers. We're chasing a man with lots of money. Did you see him?" "Yes." Do you know where he is? He's hiding over there. So they went there and they killed him and they took his money. And the man protected his vow. He never told a lie. Throughout his whole life, he never told any untruth. And at the end of life, he went to hell, because in that circumstance, it would have been better to tell a lie and break his vow, because the two principles of dharma were conflicting. If he didn't tell a lie, he would protect his vow, and he would maintain the principle of not lying, but then that person would be killed. So in that circumstance, the principle of giving protection is more important than the principle of maintaining your vow and of not telling a lie. So in that circumstance, to tell a lie would be dharma, and to not tell a lie would be adharma. So it can get a little complex. Hare Krishna. Yeah, you like asking questions? Take this book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. And you can give any donation, £1, £2, whatever you like. You can give more if you like. If you give more, I'll give you some more books. The more the better. Or if you like CDs of lectures, you can take them also. Alright, how much is there? Well, if it's more, I can afford to give you another book. Okay. Beginner's Guide, please get the Beginner's Guide. Is it there, Beginner's Guide? Yeah, take that. I wrote that book myself. Most of these books are mine.
I'll read it. Will you be here tomorrow?
Planning to, yeah. Right. Everything's in Krishna's hands.
Let's go tomorrow.
Good. Hare Krishna. See you, Vraj, he can tell you about that. Are you all together?
Yeah.
You're all one family, is it? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Time to send the show. I think they're going to do the last one. I don't know if you want to.
Oh, you want me to see that? Okay.
Are you here tomorrow? Maybe.
Yeah, but I'll probably be more busy tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm a little slightly free.